Much short family. Appreciate the good singing tonight and the good message and song. We just have to walk on.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, there's a lot of obstacles in the road. Just walk on. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Just have to keep on keeping on. And that's just what we do. That's what we do. That's who we are. Doesn't mean that we don't have feelings, and it doesn't mean that we are not touched when things, well, when we hear things as such as what we've heard tonight from our family, your family. It touches us when people suffer, when people are going through hardship. It touches us. If it doesn't, well, then there's something broken. There's something broken in you if you're not touched with the hurt of others. I've told you this often. The greatest definition that I ever heard of compassion was given by Dr. Ron Comfort. And his definition of compassion was your pain in my heart. And that's what compassion is. It's just feeling the hurt and the trouble, the sorrow that people are going through. And it's entering into that time with them. I think that if we're not careful, and I don't want to get off on this, but if we're not careful, we'll just say, oh, yeah, I'm praying about it. And then we just go on about our life. But, you know, we need to understand. Well, I thought of this. Look down at verse number 11. I like chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. You know? And that's what we do, brethren. We meet here. Church is just so vital on every level. It just is. When people miss out on the coming together, on the gathering together of church, they just miss out. I'm thankful that I don't miss out, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm thankful. He said, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Paul said, I sure am glad to hear the report that you're comforting one another, which that's kind of up close and personal, and then you're edifying, you're building up one another. And, well, God knows that's what we need to do. Now, there's other things we need to do, and we're going to talk about those some. Over the next couple of few weeks, I want to talk more to you about, well, just about church membership and how we're to conduct ourselves as members of a church. This section here even deals with leadership. Actually, there's three sections here, and I'm just going to hone in on the one, but there's in verses 12 and 13, it talks about leadership. And then in verses 14 through 16, it talks about membership. And then in verse 17, through the remainder of the chapter, I think it talks about worship. And so here's three sections, and we'll not get into each one of them, but I would encourage you to. I will say this for those men that's under the sound of my voice, God's called you into ministry. This will be one of the greatest things that you'll ever take to account. It's very simple, but it's very important. If God's called you to minister to people, you don't want to overlook what the Scripture teaches here. Look, if you would, in verse number 12, it says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Right? See, you're not going to reach people if you don't get among them. You can't put yourself up here. Now, listen to me. There's a time to be up here. We're going to see that in just a moment. But you've got to get among the people. Brother Dave and I were just talking about that. You've got to interact with people. You've got to be a brother to the people. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, we beseech you, look at verse 12, that you know them. And that's, of course, that's talking about appreciation. Appreciate those people. And he said, we beseech you that you know them which labor among you. Now look at this next phrase, and are over you. So, you know, now you have to be careful. You can't be one of the buddies. I'm your pastor. Amen. I'm not Dale. If I'm Dale to you, either I failed or you don't have any training. Amen. And you know, you respect authority. God-given authority is respected. Now that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be earned just because it's given, but it does have to be earned. There's two sides of that coin. And so he says in verse number 12, he said, you know them which labor among you. And I'm thankful that here at Fellowship Baptist Church, well, you love your leadership. And I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know, and I tell you often, and so do the other leaders of this church, we love you too. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, that doesn't mean that we excuse each other's sin and that we sweep it under the rug and we turn a blind eye and a deaf ear. But what it does mean is that when we minister and when we have to get to what we're going to get to right here in just a moment, that we do it in love. Amen. Listen, you have to deal with things. If you're going to have, well, look at what he said in verse number, look if you would in verse number, well, let's read verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So verse 12 talks about appreciation. Verse number 13 talks about affection. You ought to love them, and you do, and I appreciate that. I think all the pastors here appreciate that. But notice what he said here. I like this. And be at peace among yourselves. What a statement. You know, the Apostle Paul writing to the church said, hey, it's important that your church be at peace. Right? It's important. Now, we're in a battle, so don't think now that, you know, we're at peace with our enemy. We're in a battle. I mean, it is a raging battle. But the battle is not, it shouldn't be in the church. The battle should be when we leave, right? The battle shouldn't be when we come together, and that's what he's going to address. Okay, he's going to address some things, and I want to talk to you about it. Now, we spoke last week about restoring people. And I fear that some people may say, well, you know, if you lean too hard one way about restoring, then you may not have discipline. Well, there's a good balance. See, the key to Christianity, really in everything in life, I'm learning as I get older and more mature in the faith, listen, it's balance. You've got to have balance. When I look at the Scripture speaks of honor, but it also speaks of humility. You have to have balance, right? Yes. Well, you know, you want to speak the truth. Truth can be brutal, but you want to do it in love. Balance. God calls for balance, you see. Balance is not compromise. Balance is doing, I believe, God's work God's way. God hates sin, but I'm glad he loves sinners. Balance. Amen. And so here, the apostle was writing and he said, I want to talk to the membership a little bit. He said, now, y'all respect your authority. Y'all respect your leadership. He said, but I want to talk to membership. You have some responsibility to one another. And I believe it starts with leadership. Actually, when you look at this, he's talking about, in verse number 12 and 13, he's talking to the leadership. But I like what he said at the latter part of verse number 13. He said, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, I'm going to pick back up on that here in just a moment. But I believe he's talking to the whole church, but he might be talking about the elders in the church, the leadership. You know why? Because if we're not at peace, how could we expect those that follow us to be at peace? If we're going to gravel and argue and fuss and fight over everything, how could we expect those that follow us to find some common ground and to get some work done for Jesus? Amen. So, you know, sometimes we just have to understand that this is not about us. This is about Jesus. I'm so thankful for the day in my life that I realize that my goal as a pastor is not making you like me. My goal as a pastor is for all of us to be like him. See, that's when it works out, brethren. Amen. Please hear me now. Now, if we're not careful, it just doesn't stop with me. It'll go to you. You'll be trying to make people like you. Amen. Yes. But that's not the goal. The goal is not to make people like you. Our goal is to point people to Jesus and to help them become more like him. Wouldn't it be better that way? Yes. You know, when you get to trying to make people like you, I'll tell you what you will get. You'll get a very shallow church. You'll get a bunch of yes people. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not saying to, you know, to start an insurrection here, you know, but I'm saying that That's not what we're looking for. Okay? That's not what this is about. This is about us coming together and using the tools and the resources and the gifts and the abilities that God has given us to do God's work God's way. Somebody say amen with me. Now, he said, I want to talk to you about some problems that's going to rise up in your church. Now, this church here at Thessalonica, it was a really good church. Okay? When you're studying the book of Acts and how it got started, and you come over here and you read these letters, you can tell that the Apostle Paul, he spoke a lot about the second coming. As a matter of fact, if you'll note, each one of these five chapters in 1 Thessalonians ends with a direct reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the second coming. And so here when he's writing, I can almost hear him say, hey, the Lord's coming. And then he'll say something. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. Now, we exhort you, brethren. All right? He said, I'm no longer talking to the leadership. I'm talking to the membership. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Right? Why? The Lord's coming. Amen. Isn't that what he's been talking about over in chapter 5? Look at verse number 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write in you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus is coming. And everybody needs to be living for him. We don't need any dropouts. Amen. We need everybody to file in rank and get on board and serve God with your life. There's a lot of lost people around us. There's a big work to do. We have a lot to do. And we can't do it with a depleted army. Amen. We need you. I can't tell you the times that I've heard people, hey, you know, if you don't like it, there's an exit. Get out the exit. I don't want you to get out the exit. I want you to come in the entrance and stay. We need you. Amen. God saved you to use you, not to lose you. Amen. Listen to me. Some of this stuff is just, it's just not so. And here the Apostle Paul said, you have to confront some things if you're going to keep a pure church. And you're going to have the church focused. You have to confront some things. So let's see how to do it. There's a right way to do it. Number one, you got to warn some people. Look who said you had to warn. Verse 14, he said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now this word just means disorderly. It's really a military term. It means those that won't march with the rest of us. Those that keep getting out of line. It's a military term. They just keep breaking rank. They don't want to follow orders. They don't want to submit to the leadership that's been given to them. Hey, no man going to tell me what to do. Well, you know what? Yes, there is. There's always going to be somebody telling you what to do. Amen. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we are. Right? Amen. There's always going to be people telling you what to do. Right. You're going to lead a long, hard, miserable life if you think no one's going to be telling you what to do. Amen. You'll never have a job. Amen. You'll never have any peace. You'll never have a family. There's always going to be someone telling you what to do. So get used to it. Amen. Listen to me. Are you so full of pride that you can't take instruction from someone? Surely not. Surely there's no one here that way tonight. Are we so full of ourselves that we don't think that we can bring ourselves up under the authority and leadership of someone else? What's gotten into us, brethren? And I don't mean you. I mean as a whole. And so here the Bible says, warn them. When someone comes up to you and they're trying to bring the leadership down, or they're trying to bring division in the church, you warn them, hey, ho, you don't talk to me about that. Who you think I am? Amen. You need to stop them right there. Who do you think I am? I'm a member of the best church in this county, and I'm not going to be talking down the members and the leadership of this church. You need to take that stuff on somewhere else. Somebody say amen. Now, come on. Well, if we start dealing with people that way, then they wouldn't fill our ears with a bunch of garbage. Had to warn some people. Sometimes you have to hit it straight on. That's right. I don't like old so-and-so. I don't think he deserves to be a deacon. Well, you keep that to yourself. Best thing you can do is pray for him. I like what I heard one man say. Never take advice from someone you wouldn't take criticism from. Or never take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from. That's the way it goes. That's right. So don't you worry about people always talking you down. Listen, if you wouldn't take advice from them, it's probably not that important. Warn them. Warn them. If they're unruly, if they're disorderly. Now, there's always going to be some of this in church. You know what I'm saying, so? Listen, brethren, I wish it wasn't so, but it is. But I'm stamping that stuff out. Amen. I'll start a fire. Listen, I just want you to know something. Now, listen to me very carefully. Every one of us has got just enough flesh to start a church split. Amen. There's just enough flesh left in each one of us to where we could really start some problems in the church, starting with the pastor. That's right. We really have to, listen, we have to guard against this old flesh. And so the Apostle Paul said here, he said, you need to keep peace among the people. Look at it again, the latter part of verse number 13. He said, be at peace among yourselves. Why are you going to do that? Well, you just can't let anything go. Right? You have to warn some people. He said again, he said, warn them that are unruly. Those that just keep getting out of line, don't want to follow orders, don't want to follow leadership, don't want to follow the standard of the church, just want to march by their own beat. Amen. Amen. You know, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, now, wait a minute. When you become a member of the church now, we're going to do it God's way. This book right here is final authority. Amen, brethren. Amen. Listen, I know it's been a long week, Christmas and everything. I get it. But I want you to really take this in now. This will help you. This will help us. You cannot, we cannot tolerate the unruly. I just want to go a step further than this. Okay? You see our country? Are you watching? Unruly. And there's no warning. There's no teeth in the warning. Huh? You see our school systems? No warning of the unruly. That's why they're out of control. Out of control. Many homes. You have an unruly one in your home? You better get the warning. Amen. Listen to me now. You better get the warning. So, it'll just work itself out, preacher. No, it won't. You better get the warning. Because if some see unruliness and they see disorder, and it's tolerated, and it's left it by itself, then they'll think, well, I can do that and get by with it. They're getting by with it, so I'll get by with it. You see what happens? You cannot do that. You have to address those that are unruly. And the Apostle Paul said right here, this is the word of God, brethren. This is not some creed or dogma. This is what the word says. Warn them that are unruly. It's not pleasant. I know it's not pleasant. I know. I've had to do it. Maybe you've had to do it. And just say, now, brother, we've got to talk. You're going to have to get back in line here. You don't call the shots here. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, do you? No, God does. We're going to use this right here as our rule book. But he has set me as the under-shepherd. I'm not saying, listen, there's no, as far as I know, we don't have a problem in the church. This is just some FYI, because you never know. You never know, right? When the old flesh is going to rear its ugly head and someone's going to say, well, you know what? And they just get out of sorts. And then, well, they may come to you. And when they do, you just need to say, now hold it. Hold it right there. We need to go to, and if they want to talk about Brother David Thompson, just say, we need to go to Brother David Thompson. What are you coming to me about David Thompson for? I realize there's time you come to your pastor, but I'm talking about membership now. You got a problem with somebody, the Bible lays it out very clear in the Scripture how to handle that problem. Somebody say amen now. We've just got so far away from the Scripture, brethren. Our churches are weak, anemic, because we quit doing it God's way. You have to confront some things. Have to call some people in and say, hey, listen, I've noticed this or I've noticed that. I've had to do it as a pastor. It's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant thing to do. It's not. It's not my most favorite thing in all the world. But it has to be done. And if I'm not willing to do it, I need to step aside. I've disqualified myself as a leader. If I'm not willing to confront issues and problems in the church, I'm ineffective as a leader. You can say amen. It's the truth. And so here it says, warn. And I believe this is to, first of all, the leaders, but I believe it's right on down to the membership. Warn. You see someone stepping out of line, getting out of bounds, there's nothing wrong with you going to them in love and saying, you know, you might ought to call some things back in line here. You're getting just a little bit outside the boundary marks here. Warn the unruly. Then look at the next thing he said in verse 14. Comfort the feeble-minded. Now, when you look at that, you think, well, that's talking about people that maybe are special needs, or maybe they're just slow a little bit. Well, you know, that's not what it means, but I'm going to say this. There would be not a thing wrong if that is what Paul was addressing here. The world casts these people out, brethren. We don't ever want to turn people like that away, do we? I miss old Steve Butler. We don't ever want to turn people like that away, brother. People that may not ace a test or have a high IQ, or we don't want to turn people like that away. God loves those people, and we want to love them, right? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people, that word there actually means little-souled. Little soul, which means they're faint. They just quit. About once a week, they quit. You ever tried to minister to someone like that? Perhaps you know someone like that. Real good. Every church has them. Every church has them, brethren. So what are we going to do? Just say, well, forget them. We don't need them anyway. Well, wait a minute. I thought we just said earlier that we need all we can get. We're not talking about all we can get like us, are we? We're not willing to invest time into people's lives? You listening? We're not willing to try to make a difference in people's lives to help them get to where God wants them in their life? And so we find them in their little soul, they're despondent all the time, they want to quit. The least little thing, they huff and they puff and they say, hey, preacher, he's mean. Well, you know, sometimes people probably do construe me as that. They just need to get to know me better. Little soul people. See, this will help us. There's people in the church that way. You need to get to know them. Invest some time in them. It takes time. It takes effort. Listen, we'd all love to be around people that they've got it down, right? They read their Bible daily. They're memorizing Scripture. They're praying. They're fasting. They're faithful to church. They're giving their tithe and offerings, and they're giving to missions and, man, going soul winning. We'd like the church to be full of those kind of folks. But the plain truth is, brethren, there's going to be some faint-hearted among us. What are we going to do with those folks? Just overlook them? Well, we'll start a special Sunday school class for them. Amen. No, you reach them. Right? You go after them. You do something with them. You latch on to them. Notice what he said. See that word there in verse number 14? I think it's comfort. Is that it? Comfort? Comfort the feeble-minded. I want you to look that word up. It means come alongside. It's where we get the comforter. The Holy Ghost. He is the Paracletus. He is the come alongside. It means get up close and personal with someone. Not just shoot him a text and say, hey, brother, praying for you. Go out and put your arm around the brother and tell him, I've been praying for you this week, and I thought about this, and I wanted to share this with you, and try to help them, you see. Help them. Invest in them. Mentor them. That's Christianity, brethren. That's what makes churches strong. That's why Fellowship Baptist Church is strong. But we could get better. We could become stronger. Couldn't we? Yes. These kind of people are in every church, I'm telling you. There's going to be the unruly. And they have to be confronted. That doesn't mean you church them. We'll see that in just a moment. We'll see in just a moment. But then there's this. There's the feeble-minded. Okay, there's a little soul. They're quitting. Every time you talk to them, they're ready to quit. You know? I just don't know. I'm just about ready to throw in the towel. If don't rain, it's pouring, you know. And they mean that kind of stuff. We just got to help bear them along and bring them to a place of maturity. Remember when you was kind of that way? Well, some of you looking at me like you never was that way. Well, you born an adult or something? It's real. This is what makes churches strong. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying. Hey, listen. Everybody's not going to be like you. Everybody's not going to be walking in the Spirit and soul winning and praising Jesus every time you're around them. There's going to be some people like this in your fellowship. And he said, they're in your fellowship there in Thessalonica. Guess what? They're in our fellowship here in Madison. And God's put them under our watch care, and I'm thankful that he has. God wants, listen, God trusts us to minister to these kind of people. So there's going to be the unruly, okay? And then there's going to be the little-souled, the faint-hearted. But notice what else he said here. He said, support the weak. Well, this is a third group of people that's in the local church. Those weak, you know, they just, you just wonder, are they ever going to grow? Are they ever going to, you know, they're just always stumbling. Right? It seems like every time you visit them or every time you talk with them, you're having to talk them through a time of stumbling. They've gone back to something. They're weak. Is that tobacco I smell on you? Yeah, I started smoking again, preacher. What am I supposed to do? Slap their face? And tell them, you sorry, low living. Come on. Listen, I don't think anybody ought to use tobacco. I think it's sin against God and it'll kill you. But here the Bible says I need to support weak people. And by the way, if you're so weak that a cigarette or a plug of tobacco or a drink of alcohol or whatever controls you, you're weaker than you think you are. And I'm not being mean here. I'm just saying that as Christians, we need to reach out and help these people. Can I tell you that a high majority of Christians, they forsake these people? Are you listening to me? We don't want to be that people, do we? Well, preacher, I'm not going to agree with their sin. I told you, we'll get to that in a moment. There's a time where you have to, listen, you have to walk away. But that shouldn't be your first step. My first step should be to try to help them through that time. Amen. Is that what the word says? Set support. Set support the weak. Is that what it says, rather? By the way, just so you know, weakness is not only found in tobacco and alcohol. It could be on your tongue. Well, let me just change that. It could be your tongue. Yeah, that's right. Always saying stuff you shouldn't say to people you shouldn't say it to. That's called gossip. And you gossip, and you know that it's sin, and God deals with you about it, and you say, I'm not going to do that anymore, but you're weak, and you do it again. So now don't think just tobacco, something you can smell, or something that you can see is weakness. It could be something like your tongue. You could be a backbiter. I don't know. So that's weak too, right? So what are we going to do with folks like that? Just write them off and say, well, you know what? I hope they leave the church. I don't. See, I believe Jesus changes lives, brethren. I believe God can take people and make a difference in their life. If I didn't believe that, listen, God is my witness. I'd quit tonight. I'd give it up. If I didn't believe God changed lives, we're spinning our wheels. We're wasting our time. Because we're a messed up bunch. Are you listening to me? We're broken. We're twisted. But thank God Jesus can take broken and twisted things and do something with them. And because we believe that, we need to be ministering to these kind of people. God wants us to minister to these people. And they're going to sit right here. So they might sit beside you. They may even live under your roof. I don't know. I'm just saying. The Apostle Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, listen, he said, I want you to warn the unruly. They start getting out of line now. You can't let that go. So how far should you go? Well, we're going to see that in just a moment. And then he said, not only do I want you to warn the unruly in verse number 14, he said, I want you to comfort the feeble-minded. Some people, you can't shoot a text. Some people, you can't get on the phone with. Some people, you got to go to their house. Some people have to sit down beside them. You have to just have a cup of coffee with them and say, I'm here for you. What do I need to do? What can I do to help you get to the next level in your life as a Christian? Brethren, that's what Christians do. Now, you talking about boots on the ground, Christianity and shoe leather, we don't want to be just a bunch of talk, do we? No. We want to be the kind of people that work and help to try to make a difference in people's lives. We may not save, listen, we may not save everyone that's gone astray and has fallen into these areas of their life, but thank God we can get some of them. Let's get all we can. Let's make a difference in some people's lives. I'm talking about Christians. So, we need to go after the lost, preacher. Well, sure we do. But we need to go after the saved, too. Amen. Support the weak. Are you ready for this next phrase? Be patient toward all men. It just keeps getting harder and harder. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul just keeps asking us to do more and more. You want me to be patient with him? Yeah. But we're polar opposites. Yeah, I know. God been patient with you lately? Then I can be patient with him. Yes, him. You can too. Her. See, brethren, this is Christianity. I fear that we've gotten to a place to where emotions has driven our Christianity to a place to where we think that if we're not, listen, if we're not just living it up and just, I mean, just kicking our heels, and I'm for worship. Shout to victory, brother. Listen to me. Kick your heels up high. But now, when you leave here, maybe before you leave here, don't forget, there's more responsibilities to Christianity. Right here they are. And it starts with me. But it doesn't end with me. It goes to you. Can I encourage you to get involved in some people's lives and make a difference? Would you do that? It'll help Fellowship Baptist Church be a better place. All right? It's already a good place, but it'll help us be a better place. Let me close with this. We're going to come back to this section of Scripture, but not tonight. I want you to turn over to chapter number 3 of 2 Thessalonians, okay? That's just a page or two, depending on the size of your print, and I'll close with this. So, there's just people in the church. Not everybody in the church is going to be a spirit-filled, tithing, offering-giving, faith-promise-supporting, soul-winning, you know, pastor-loving. There's going to be people that need training, and they're going to need some mentorship. And, well, it's not just a leadership's place. I could take you to Titus 2 if we need to go there, but I'm not going to. I think you know what the Bible says. You which are older, teach the younger. Does it say that, men? Amen. Does it say it to the ladies? Amen. Teach them. Teach the ladies some things. Teach them. Teach them some spiritual principles, some moral principles. Teach them some family principles. Ye which are older, you aged, teach those younger ones. You aged men, you teach those younger men. And you aged women, you teach those younger women. Brethren, that's the Bible. That's what Christians need to be doing. Because we quit doing that, well, here we are. So God help us not to quit. And if we have, God help us to get back involved in it. I want to make a difference in some people's lives. I want all of you young people to look up here at your preacher, okay? Your pastor loves you. And I'll always be here for you. So I can't tell you everything. Well, you know what? You may not need to tell me everything, but you can talk to me. I'll never close my door to you. You say, well, I'm ashamed of some things I've done. Well, you know, I hope you won't let that stop you from coming to talk with me so we can pray together. Get with your parents and talk with your parents about some things and try to help you get back on the right track. Amen. That's what it's about. So I done messed up. God will never use me. Well, never say never, my friend. Never say never. You don't know what God will do with your life. I could tell you quite a few people in the Scripture who probably thought God never used them. But God did. He'll use you too. I want to close with this. In 2 Thessalonians, I'm just going to mention this, but I want you to go home and read it. We'll pick up here next week. I'm going to be preaching out of this for a couple of weeks on this thought. You know, we're going to eventually get into church discipline. We exercise church discipline here. We do. We have it in our constitution. People not faithful to church for 6 months, listen, they're no longer a member of the church. You did read the Constitution, right? I've had to go to people and tell them, listen, you can't do that and hold an office here at the church. I've had to do it. It's not something I enjoy doing. It's not. I've had to take people out of offices at the church. I don't like doing it, but you have to do it. Some people think I should have done it sooner. Some people think I've done it too soon. Yeah, you know, I try to be patient with all men. You know, God's patient. I try to be patient. But there's a time when God says, now's the time. Just like when you tell your child something. Don't do that again. You've been patient with them. Now you know when it's time for you to exact punishment on your child. I believe God tells the pastor when it's time to make that move. I do. And I believe God will tell you when he wants you to make a move. But let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul takes his subject up again. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. There's a word. So the first time he said, warn them in the first letter. Now what he said? Warn them that are unruly. But now he says, I don't think they took the warning well. He said, now you got to withdraw. All right? Look what he said. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. He's not going along with church polity. He's not going along with scriptural teaching. He's not going along with the direction of the church. It's got to be dealt with. You can't start your own way. Right? You can't do it your way. That's what the scripture's teaching. And the apostle said, listen, you have to withdraw. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Well, let's just see. The scripture will interpret itself. Look at verse 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Boy, I like that. As a leader, Paul said, I know how to submit to leadership. You know, leaders ought to be able to submit to leadership. Isn't that what Paul's saying, brother? He said, remember when I was among you? He said, I didn't try to get outside the rank and outside of the rule. I brought myself under the rule. That's what he said in verse number 7. You know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He says, so you act like we acted. Remember what I said earlier? Leadership sets the tone. Leadership sets the example. If we can't be united, and thank God we are. But brethren, if the leadership's not united, how in the world is the fellowship going to be? That's what the Word of God's teaching here. And in many places, we just need to get back to the Word. Give you one more truth and then we'll be through here. He said in verse number 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power. Paul said, you know, I could receive an offering. Nothing wrong with that. That's God's way. He said, but I worked not because I didn't have the authority to receive the offering, but to make, in verse 9, ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Whew, that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong language. Paul said, you don't need to let loafers hang around the church. Amen. You don't. Lazy people don't do well with God. You listening to me? Lazy folks need to get to work. Amen. Go to work. You say, well, I'm retired. Thank God for you. You put in your labor. Thank God for you. Well, I'm disabled. Thank God for you. It's not if you can't work, it's if you won't work. And so he said right here, he said in verse number 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Watch this. But are busybodies. What do you mean, Paul? He said they're busy about everything except for what they need to be busy about. They're busybodies. They're not busy working for Jesus. They're not busy working for their family. They're busy up in your business. Amen. Paul said, how about you minding your own business? Won't you get as concerned about what's going on in your life as you're concerned about what's going on in their life? I'm just breaking it down to you what Paul's saying, okay? This is my translation of the scripture. Sometimes we're so concerned about what someone else is not doing. We need to be concerned about what we're going to do. Amen. I tell you, just cut out a lot of hardship in church. We're just so out of shape over what this one's doing or that one's doing or this one's not doing or that one's not doing. You need to get concerned about what God's called you to do. And if we would do that, I think that would take up a lot of our time. And Paul said right here, I want to show you again now. He said, don't be busybody. Don't be busy trying to fix everybody. Amen. Or trying to make everybody like you. That's not the plan, brethren. It's not. So he laid it out. And we're going to come back to this, and we're going to look at it. But Paul just said, we'll look back down in verse number 15, and he said, this is the point I was getting at. He said, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, some folks read those scriptures, and they say, I tell you right now, I'm breaking fellowship. I'm withdrawing. You know, the Bible says I have a scriptural right. I'm withdrawing. Well, you need to read the rest of it. He said, don't treat him like an enemy now. You treat him like a brother. You love him. The goal is restoration. Amen. Amen. Restore somebody. Help somebody. Now, there'll come a time when that might not. And we'll discuss that. Okay, the Bible addresses that. There'll come a time when God will say it's time to move on. But it's not 90 days. There's no given time. God will let you know. He'll let you know. There's an admonition. There's a second admonition. We'll get to those things. I just want us to be a church that helps people. Let's help people. And we are. We are. There's hurting people everywhere. You know, I'm going to tell you this as you stand to your feet. A church, you can stand, a church that ministers to hurting people, now please listen to me, will never lack for opportunities to minister. Did you get that? A church that ministers to hurting people will never lack for opportunities to minister. Brethren, they're everywhere. There are people that are hurting everywhere, lost and saved. People are hurting. We just have to have our spiritual sensors up, our radar, and then be willing to invest time in them. I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the piano. Now, if you're anything like me, this is much easier to preach or to receive than to practice. We're busy people. From the youngest in here to the oldest, we're busy people. And the devil will have you thinking, well, you're too busy, you know, when you see somebody that needs help. I'm not the only one the devil tells that. Devil ever told anyone else that? Raise your hand. I'd just like to know that I'm not in this boat alone. Okay. Okay, whoa, that sink a boat there, all these people. Hey, we don't want to get too busy to where we can't invest in people's lives. Okay? So I'm not piling on. I just want you to get involved in helping people. It enriches your life. It's bearing out what true Christianity is. Everybody knows somebody that needs help. Let's bow our heads together.